And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, here and declare your independence. And me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tiefel Studios of Freedom's of the Nest, Freedom's Phoenix.com. I'm not going to be the singer. Freedom's Phoenix.com. Nope, that's not going to do it. Nope, that's not going to do it. I guess we got to get a real singer on here. We got Tennessee LaRue and Randy Stepik. We'll call him Cowboy. And Randy contacted me, and I think it was a phone message, an email, and what it was is he was excited about a new song that they had, and I remember this happening in about 05 to 06, 07, round in there, 06, before the Levolution, I remember that, and there was a songwriter, country music's got, cowboys. And they sing about, and they're usually kind of conservative and so on. And you know what, if you're in country music, you better be writing what they want you to write, because damn it, that's what you should be writing. And at the time, they were anti-war and anti the honky-tonk group came, and they did a really good song that was critical of the war and George Bush. www.warmonger.com Bush. So they definitely had an impact, and it was interesting to have a anti-establishment and not, support the troops and, these colors don't run kind of thing song. Well, they had an impact. Well, now the culture has changed and got where Virginia, everybody that's got a gun they want to go get, and you're not allowed to be on land, and you got your occupancy permit to live anywhere, or you better get your vaccinations, or, on and on and on and on. Now we're counting on country music come back and say, hey, man, let's get back to traditions and, heritage here, and kind of, man, can we be not communist? How about that? Well, I don't know. So, Randy, they got a song. And I wanted to talk to them about the creation of the song, about, the atmosphere. And one thing that Cowboy writes in here, he has, the White Elephant Saloon and Billy Bob's in Texas. And Tennessee LaRue, the singer, was part of Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. Remember Hee Haw and a lot of their traveling crew that they would go around and perform and so on. Well, Tennessee was part of that. So I'm going, okay, so they got some legacy and some skills. But what happens is, he said in here, is these different places, the White Elephant Saloon and Billy Bob's Texas, it's been a favorite place for him to network and get exposure, not only for the current trend in country music, but also his own music, trends in country music. Let's ask Cowboy about that. Cowboy, I got you there.
Yes, sir. Sitting here ready to fire.
All right. Let's start off with that. Now, we got Tennessee also. Are you there, Tennessee?
No, I didn't get through. She tried to come through, and I hit it, and it cut it off. And I had to call back again. It was busy, and find out.
All right, we'll make it work. Now, what we did, we'll worry about in the break, maybe. Now, what I need to know is the trend in music now. Country music is very influential. And if you didn't say the right thing about the right, you got Dixie chicked. If you didn't have the right song about the right dad, you didn't get played. You got attacked. Your albums got burned. Whatever. So what is the trend now?
The trend is money, bro. It's all about the money. It's not country music anymore. It's country market. They market it to the biggest buying groups: the younger adolescents, the kids, and the women. if they suit them fine with what they want to hear, they sell a lot of CDs.
Even country. You know, so country's gone youth.
Well, country's coming back. Because, see, look here. The big boys are back on the stage. And do you think they're going to be singing stuff like being played on the air right now? I don't think so, partner. Nope. Not going to happen. This phase has lasted long enough. There's a station called Keeping It Country. And my music is played on that for years. But it's out of rotation now because that was my first project. It did good. But, you know, that's the way it is in online radio.
So this song that you got now, About the Money, I mean, is what's the title? About the Money?
It's called All About the Money.
All About the Money. Okay. Now we got it here, and it's how long is this thing? It's 3 minutes. I don't know if we'll get the whole thing.
It's the average playtime.
Now we'll see. We'll play some of it, and when we come back in the rejoiner, we'll start off with it and see how long we can go. But the we'll see. I haven't heard it yet. I mean, I heard little pieces of it, and I go, okay, this is good. But I'm gonna.
Brother, it's not the highest quality recording, but it's all the money we had, man. We had to get it out. You know, I was laying on the couch nearly dead from the poison I had to take from hepatitis C and the right in the middle of it. But we'll talk about that after you spin, I guess.
It was bad. I
was almost dead, you know, and I prayed to God, if I'm going to die, please help me go find somebody for that song. I couldn't even get off the couch. And a bit later, I just stood up, walked in the office, sat down, punched in some independent artist, third one down was Tennessee LaRue. I read, Buckaroo, man, my name's been on playlists with that man and radio stations around the world. I didn't know Tennessee LaRue was a Buck Owens Buckaroo at all. I read that, and I said, wait a minute. And then I heard the music. I heard Good As Your Man. I said, that's the man right there, no question. His song, Good As Your Man, is bad to the bone. And as soon as I heard one quarter of it, then turned it off and called him.
So what is...
Told him,
and what did he say? He said, yeah, give me a bunch of money. The answer's always yes, it's just how much? Or did he read the lyrics and go, yeah, we're in, or what?
No. I sent him the MP3 of my demo. I did it country style. I did it country genre. And he heard it. Listen here, I said, partner, look here. I called him up and said, partner, you don't know me from Adam. And but I'm a award-winning singer-songwriter in Fort Worth, Texas. I just heard Good As Your Man, brother, and I have a song for you. No question. He said, well, fun, I hadn't cut anybody's music in about 40 years, but you can send it anyway. I'll listen to it. Man, I sent him that song, and the second it was over my phone, right? He said, Randy, I love that song. Man, I really love it. Can I put that on my next upcoming album? I said, that's what I called you for, brother. Let's roll.
All right, so we'll get to listen to it, but let's talk about the lyrics and why you wrote it and what it says. You know, we're coming up on the break here in about a minute, so let's before we get in that, we'll get that when we come back. You know what prompted you to write it and your experiences and the lyrics and what you're hoping to share with everybody. But when did you start getting into music? I mean,
over 25 years ago, man. I started writing, but see, I didn't just run into this. My old man had a degree in accounting from TCU, and he taught me stuff. You're going to do it right, man. Do it right or don't do it. And I started studying the music business when I was 25, I think. I've been studying it for years. I know this business, man.
Well, how is the business now? It seems like it's changed a lot.
It's changed thanks to Bill Gates. It ruined everything. The internet ruined the music business. Big time. You know, there's people just, all you got to do is buy one of my songs or the whole album, and you can send that whole album to a million people if you want on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to make some changes. And if I got anything to say about it, let this song take off. I'll have plenty to say about that.
Yeah, I'm not a big intellectual prop because I see it being used so badly, you know, and this is like blowback, and I don't know what you can do. I mean, digitized stuff. Well, we're going to talk about it. I'll give you a voice here. I'm not intellectual property kind of because I see all the bad it does. But how do artists get compensated? What's the deal? That's why I'm willing to give you some time. We can talk about it when we come back. I'll start off with the song, and you guys will go and, you know, until, I don't know, as long as it's interesting, maybe we'll get the whole thing in, and we'll talk about it.
All right.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
There, see? We could be one of your songs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. I'm in the same mindset as y'all. You know,
did you just hear it?
No. I was talking about that commercial, the pirate commercial that we did.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing. See, it's been about the money since Cain killed Abel. You know, look here. It's written in the Bible that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and that Satan's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, let's go back. Steal, kill, destroy. They wrote in the Constitution that the moral fabric and foundation of this country is based on the Word of God. Okay, let's go back. What's the first three things the English did when they got here? Foundation, building, time. What's the first three things they did, brother? They stole the land from the Indians, they killed the Indians, and they destroyed their livelihood by killing not hundreds of thousands of buffalo, folks, millions, and writing in a history book that said that will fertilize the fields for all the farmers coming over. Oh, why? So they can come over here and have their own beautiful land and live prosperous? Hell no. So they can tax them and make money. It's all about the money. Moral fabric and foundation based on the Word of God. What a lie from hell. That's what I got to say about it. I am sick of the money manipulators, the big Amazon.
Why?
Google. They're going to run everything. They'll buy everything.
Why? Why are you so animated? What happened? What brought you to this state
because I see a lot more than most people see. God's given me vision. And I see things that it's far beyond me. Like, you think the whole country's that stupid? Well, guess what? A lot of the people.
All right, here we're coming back. Let's do it. Here we're coming back.
Make sure to be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Government says they care, telling us this and that. Decision they make. Oh, it's all about the
about the money. It's about the money. Now, this is when you're coming to write this, and of course there's, you know, another two-thirds of the song, but, you know, the message that you want to get across is what, cowboy? What is it that you're trying to tell, make sure people know?
The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Evil starts with the people who run the money. Because in America, now, the golden rule is, it seems to me, looking at the internet, television, and radio, the golden rule is, do unto others before they do unto you. For he who has the most gold makes all the damn rules in the end. That's what.
Well,
so the rich run everything. They own everything, run everything, and call all the shots. And money's on the way out the door anyway. Soon it'll be a card, everybody with a card. And then they'll say, oh, let's get too dangerous. And there'll be a chip. And then they'll say, oh, there's too many people. We got to number these people. That's right out of the Word of God, bro. And it's all based on the love of money.
Well, I don't have a problem, you know, with, if somebody wants to accumulate and they got a bunch of money, peace, I don't care. But it's
when
they want.
I don't care about rich people.
They want to get mine. They're going to pass a law and take mine. I'm going, I think I'll decline. You know.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Well, I want to know.
Everybody.
I apologize.
If everyone got involved, it would be way different in this country. If everyone got involved, it would be absolutely different.
Got involved in what?
Voting and going to gatherings and stating their mind and getting it out in the open. Because there's television reporters there with cameras at some places, man. People are afraid to speak up. Randy Stepik ain't for this time now. I'm done.
What do you think the influence has got? Well, you know, this one thing, we were heavily involved with the Ron Paul Lovelution. You know, that happened in the 08 campaign and 12 and so on. And then there was, I remember him saying that if we don't do it now, the words that we use, the heritage that we count on, the understanding of what it means to even be, you know, the word freedom, if we don't do it now, it's going to be lost. They're not going to even know what we're talking about.
Listen, this is not a it is a stage. That's half right. Final phase. Not just a phase. See, because everybody needs to wise up, man, because things are not going to get better.
What things? I mean, what are you looking? What's your metric?
This world.
What's your metric? What are you looking to change? You know, that's going to, you're going, yeah, we're going the right direction now.
You stand up for your rights, which are written in the law, and they're changing them all the time because people are standing up and they're trying to stay ahead of it.
All right, well, I'll give you here's some stuff that kind of, you know, be fuel for your fire. Michael Moore, white guys who voted for Trump are not good people. Be afraid of them. So he's hammering that a lot, but you kind of expect that from Michael Moore. Yeah, whatever. But then we got, you know, Virginia wants to confiscate all kinds of guns. Well, they, you know, pass a Virginia budget bill, HB 30, $250,000 is allotted for catching guys that are violating. They got $50,000 going to allow the removal of firearms from persons who pose a substantial risk to themselves or others. They got that funded. We gonna make some money.
That's
go take guns.
News page material.
Of course.
That's news page material for the people to be. The news, I believe, most of it is nothing but deception.
Okay, now let me give you the other four. There's five of these things they're funding. Prohibit the sale, possession, and transport of assault firearms, whatever that is, trigger activators and silencers. So they got a budget to go, you know, surveil and get some. They gotta fund the enforcement, so that's what they're doing. Increase the penalty for allowing a child to access unsecured firearms. If you have, you know, if you're not properly storing, they're going to get you. Prohibit possession of firearms by persons subject to final orders of protection. So they got to have more funding for that. Require background checks for all firearm sales. Now, this is just, you know, money that they've allocated, you know, for enforcement of these other laws that they've passed to go after guns in Virginia. And a lot of people, Yeah, they're getting all militia'd up. So we got a gun thing going on. Then we got the pension funds is being depleted by they, them, those. We have, you got to get a permission slip from the man to even, you can occupy the sidewalk in front of town hall or whatever, and you're good. But if you go to your own property, you go to jail. So I'm just like, what issue is it that you're control?
They design laws as they go to operate the way they have always operated. On their own behalf, for their own interest. That's why that's why everything's ended up like it has, see? Because any interest-based financial system is suicide. It's suicide for the people. Because the more people, the less money, the less products, the more demand, more price goes up, the more interest goes up. And all the interest sucks all the small money up. It always has. It always will. And now, in the end days we are in, this is the problem, folks. The love of mammon and money and people in charge and authority over that money. The golden rule for the United States government now, I believe, is do unto others before they do unto you, for he who has the most gold makes all the damn rules, and that's all there is to it. And I'll stand and say that right in front of the White House. I don't care.
You know, my thing is, money has always been required to pay the taxes of the guy with the gun. I mean, if you didn't have to do that, I just on my own property, and, you know, and I just fend for myself, and I'm good. You know, next.
They're robbing Peter to pay Paul through deception so they can run everything the way they want. They're getting scared as hell of what all that's going on. And the deal is, they know that they created it. And they've been telling the same lies for so long. They believe it, man. They stand there and speak it like it's the gospel truth.
Well, when they come up against
so much deception and lies in media, it's incredible.
Well, when they come up against artists that can depict things or write songs and the industry itself, when we come back in the next segment, that's one thing that I'm very interested in. I want to hear about the industry itself, how it's used and by whom, and how it's been consolidated, and who bought it, and what's the technique now. Well, of course, you're not a fan of anybody just copying and downloading, because I got it here. We just play it on, and everybody's got it, and record, and is that good? Is that bad? And what would you do to try and stop, copyright violations? Would you even have copyright? I don't know. We're going to find out, because I guarantee Cowboy's on the edge of his seat wanting to express an opinion. Okay, when we come back, that's what I'm going to hit you with, is the state of the industry, what technology does in the future, how else would you be funded? And this is one thing I get into fights with artists all the time. They do documentaries, videos, do whatever. And I'm going, man, you better come up with sell a lunchbox or something, or pre-fund the crowdsource something. Because I'm telling you, that horse has left the barn. It's over.
You need to call enough people that's got some weight.
To do what? To make illegal ones and zeros?
People shouldn't be allowed to keep doing this.
And you're going to, all right, when we come back, when you say they shouldn't be allowed, how are you going to stop them? And what is it? Is it going to be like gun confiscation?
Gun confiscation, forget about that. Try to confiscate all the guns in this country and watch what happens.
Try and confiscate somebody's computer. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, Larry's trying to call in right now. Should I punch him?
Well, try it now. See how it works.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you get him?
No, hell, I don't know what. I don't know how. I don't even know. I punched the call button and it cut it off. I don't know what's happening.
All right. Nah, that's too bad.
I mean, do you push the OK button or the call button? I thought.
I have no idea what it is you're doing. That's why we do. A lot of the, Skype and Zoom and computer stuff.
I know, I tried.
Alright, well, we'll muddle through. Or we could talk to, him separately if you got his number.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, do you want me to try and get him on?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, I can only do him or you unless you guys conference it.
Well, I think, you think I'll just let him do the rest of the show?
All right. Well, let me try them and see what we can work out here, and you can listen online. Here, Donna, come here. Quickly. Call that number and get Tennessee on. All right, we're going to try him. Thanks. We'll get to it.
Time comes in.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Too much talk and not enough demand. Let's get together. Oh, it's our money.
Okay, we got Tennessee LaRue on, you know, from the Buck Owens, Buckaroos. I remember that back when I was a kid back in the day. You know, this is, you know, it's good. I got you there, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad we got you. Yeah, we couldn't get the both of you online at the same time. We got the first half with Randy. We got to talk about his inspiration for the song and so on. But, you know, real quick, he told us, yeah, he contacted you. You had to listen to his version of it, and you're going, yeah, that sounds like I'm interested in the industry. Let's talk about the song a little bit and your support of it and what you think the message is. But I after that, I want to talk about the industry and where it's going and you know, copyright and how the artists are, which way are they leading philosophically? Have the conservatives been out, placed out by something else that's owned, who owns the record labels and blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that. But tell me about the song real quick.
Well, I met Randy a few years ago. He said, I've got something that it's totally out of the different type of stuff that you're used to doing. And he said it has great message with it. And I said, well, send me the song and the lyrics. So he did, and I enjoyed the song. It had a real good message, and it reminded me of Bible verses and things that I studied in church in different times. And so I said, look, I'm going to cut the song. And I wanted a sort of a bluesy flair to it. And but it turned out just exactly the way that I wanted to. And so I went ahead and cut the song, and the song is playing for about 6 million people every week. So good things has came out of it, and of course interviews like we're doing now, and so forth.
Well, this is to get a song like there's been other songs that we've promoted over the years that had a message, and I was really interested in talking to you guys is that the industry itself is morphing. It's like the bad guys know that country, western and country songs are blues and so on have an impact on people.
Yeah.
So they're like taking over the record labels, if there are any left anymore, with MP3 being a thing. And I'm just going, okay. To what end? Why would the Chinese want the record label of the whatever? Why would, certain board of directors of this one record label share board of directors with banks and stuff? I mean, you can see the media it's like they're attacking that front of communicating with the populace. And I'm wondering, where's the trend? What do you think's happening in the music industry?
I'm sorry, my dog's barking. Someone came to my door. I think it's totally changed a lot. And, of course, I've been in music for 30 years. And the folks coming up now, they're going to have a hard time. Record labels are not what they used to be. As far as, used to, you could get be signed to a label. You could get the big monies, and touring and things. And so all of that's changed these days, and record labels are slow, if not doing it at all, to pick up on new talent for those reasons. And money's tight, and of course, it's totally changed from, when Buck and I were out doing it.
Well, the type of music, the message that you've had over the decades, is it wax and wane? I mean, does it go conservative, then liberal, or is it starting to head a little bit more, what? I mean, what's the message in country music now?
I think it's more conservative, to be honest with
you. You think it's getting more conservative as the years pass a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the bastion of.
I really do, yeah.
Well, how does that play commercially?
Commercially, nowadays, it's not what you know or how good you are, it's who you know, or if you have pockets full of monies, and to get on a record label, that's what happens these days.
So how is it being, someone that's seen this over the years, are the young artists, are they just looking for a label or are they looking for a YouTube channel? I mean, how do they market themselves now?
Well, that's the whole key. If a self-marketing, doing things yourself without anybody helping you, promoting the music, YouTube came along and that helped new artists. And the new artists they're starving to get out there, And it's really hard these days to make it in music business.
And what about touring? You're in Tennessee, Nashville there and so on. Is there a lot of crowds, or are they just looking for the next Facebook phenom? I mean, where's the money coming in to sustain songwriters?
Well, if you don't, you're going to need good people booking you, And that's the whole key, is the right booking agency. I have been doing 6 months every year, 40 years touring, and I see a lot of things changing. Time I go out to these places, and I see a lot of good musicians just standing on the streets and playing their music in Nashville. And there's so many people go to Nashville trying to make it big.
Well, what is big now? When you say they make it big, what does that mean? I mean, people aren't buying, does people buy music? It's not like Tower Records are around anymore. I mean, how do people get their music?
Yeah, nowadays it's downloads and things, It's, sell your stuff with downloads and your music, and that's how you promote it these days if you don't have big promoters.
Well, you have different genres. Let's put it this way. There's a country love song, I lost my girlfriend and, my dog doesn't like me anymore and, whatever life stuff. Or you have political, it's kind of you're taking a bent or, me and my gun or my land or my cattle or my something. I'm wondering, or is it my country, America, country and let's go kick ass on somebody, being pro-war or anti-war. So I'm just wondering what is supported by the machine. Because a lot of these guys, they're very talented. They come in, but if their message isn't supported, it doesn't get played. So I'm just wondering, what is the message that they want? What is the high, the low risk, good song? I'm going to say this about that. What's that one?
I think it's, in the country music, it's still about old trucks and hound dogs and lost the woman and things of that sort. None of that has changed. That's the message that country music is saying a lot today. They like that, and of course the old traditional country was something else too that you don't hear much of that anymore, and Nashville has created its own monster with the Nashville sound, as they say, and I'm not part of all of that, and I don't believe all of that, I believe in making your own sound and not having all your songs sound the same with the name.
We're gonna talk more when we come back about the future of the music industry. We'll be right back.
Money. There is an.
Yeah, when we come back, we got like a 4-minute break, and then we got one more segment. Now, okay. The reason I was interested in doing this show is I'm glad you guys got a song you're proud of up there, and focusing on the banking and the money and this kind of stuff, and you're proud of your song. But I'm interested in the industry because there was a honky tonk. Song Nashville studio musicians got in. They did this really song back in 2005, 2006, and it was, it was an anti-war, anti-W. Bush kind of thing that was embraced by the left, and you had a lot of left-leaning people. Yeah, I see we got a country song that's, against the government and stuff. And I'm going, yeah, I doubt that gets a whole lot of play. I mean, it did for a little while with, from the left or something, but it showed me that, you have a diversity of opinion politically, and they're going to use whatever music genre they can to express that. But to me, country was always more, down to home inside, your own community of, relationships and just living life on the prairie, you leave me aloneism. And I'm looking at now, it too has been co-opted by they, them, those that want to use every medium they can to forward their agenda, whatever that is. So I'm wanting to know, what's your agenda? How are you using, obviously you did this song, so you're, you and some of your other compatriots throughout the years, are they seeing, you're saying country is, still conservative, it's support of, is that a pro-Trump thing? Are we, it's country music is, 82.6% supportive of Trump administration?
Right.
I don't know. What do you think? Is it?
I don't think so, no. I don't think Trump has nothing to do with music.
Nothing to do with what?
With music, in my opinion. He does have something to do with the storyline as far as the government.
Yeah.
The backdoor deals that they're doing up there.
Yeah, it's I'm wondering, this whole Trump phenom is, is what? They keep calling it flyover country. It's just outside of the cities. Well, that kind of, is a description of country. But, here in Phoenix, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and one of my sons and his wife, man, they're big countryed up, go to Country Thunder and Country This and Country on their radios and big boombox of country. And I'm going, okay, and their philosophy is probably more conservative. I'm wondering if that's if you're listening to country, are you a conservative or not?
Not really.
Okay. No. Well, let's talk about that. I want to kind of get, because I can see it where the battle is going to be, and the general public opinion always includes music. There's always some music or song there or something, And then the industry itself, I'm just, All right, here, I'll come back with some music. All right, we're back in a few seconds. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Tennessee LaRue, a country singer with lots of experience, decades and decades out of Tennessee, which means, like Nashville influence. So I'm interested in the industry and what there's all kinds of influences on what we think and the way we think. And one of the things has been music. Music, all of a sudden you hear a couple of riffs, a couple of seconds of a couple of minutes, takes you back, and you're already in the right emotional state of whatever it is you want to stay or say or represent or talking about. I use it a lot. I would use it more if those that go, you didn't, you played too much of that in your band and you're not allowed and you didn't get permission slip of where's the revenue to the whoever bought it. And I'm just... I'm not a big, I just see it as a big squash on expressing yourself, but, you know, where's the industry going? I don't know. We had Cowboy said, you know, we need to blame Bill Gates. Damn Bill Gates. You know, he's got all this MP3 and ones and zeros and destroyed, you know, the, so now in the industry, you guys make your money from what? And where do you think it's going?
Well, these days you're making your money from touring and selling downloads, CDs, and those got to be worth it in order to make your money. And touring is the only way to do that and get the message out about your music. I'm told I have 600,000 fans. So, you know, I rely on those folks to buy my music, you know, and to support me. And that's the only way that you can make your money these days. And I think as far as the industry goes, it's not in a good state, I don't think, these days. As far as country music goes, we have too much of this Nashville sound, if you will, and things sounding the same. When you listen to country radio, yeah, you hear these songs, and a lot of them are exactly the same. I mean, it may not be the same words, but as far as the story goes and what's happening in the song, a lot of them are just the same. And if you hear one country song, then you've heard them all as far as Nashville goes, okay? I move to a different beat, and I don't fall in with the Nashville sound, really, because my sound is my own.
Well, this, the radio stations or whatever other platforms and so on, I mean, people can select whatever they want and not be forced on them by, you know, some radio station. Yeah, screw that. I'll just do podcast, or I got some satellite, yeah, or pod, you know, a Wi-Fi car if I get to listen to whatever the hell I want. And I remember when they started doing social media, the first one before Facebook was MySpace. And my kids, when they were junior high, high school at the time in the, you know, mid-early 2000s, they started putting up on their page, you know, all their favorite songs, or they had, you know, hot links to it, and they just played it from there. And, you know, there'd be a couple of country, some classic rock and roll, some, you know, Korean drum banging thing, or be Tchaikovsky's symphonies of what, I mean, it was all over the place when people get to select their own stuff. And I'm wondering, right, if you can make it like iTunes, you make it, yeah, it's convenient. I could get it for free. Yeah, but I'd have to go over and do it. You know, I just assume pay the 79 cents, dollar, whatever, and just get it and I'm good, and pay, you know, $10 for that. If you make it cheap and convenient, they're buying convenience. If you make it inconvenient for them, they're like, screw you, I'll go get it free anyway. So I'm, if you make it convenient and people, they want to support good art. I mean, there are some people, of course, that won't, but I'm thinking when you cut out the middleman, when you cut out all the crap in the industry and you're directly supported by your fans, it seems to me that talented people will get paid more. Has that been your experience at all?
Yes, yes.
So bypassing all the label crap, you can just go straight to, hey, just give me money and it's better?
That's right.
Yeah, really?
That's
okay.
The thing these days. That's how it's working these days. Just, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a good promoter who believes in your music and what you're doing, then you're going to come out real good. And most of the time, people will want to see you. So therefore, you got to tour, and you got to. If your name's not out there, people forget a lot of things. Okay, they forget sometimes if they don't see your name out there. You know.
Well, I'm interested in, you say, you know, a popular song is based on, I don't know what, but when you go political or you're starting to talk about banking, you know, or money or whatever flips your switch, is there some topic, even as I see these individual artists going out and all of a sudden, man, they get social justice warrior, you didn't say it right, you must be banned and taken off the platform or whatever. Has that happened to any of your friends?
No, it's not happened to many of my friends, but I know it happens. do know that.
Yeah, I'm just it seems interesting that there's going to be, well, there already are. There are places you go to just look for the kind of music that you like, or it gets suggested by someone, or you see it on your Facebook post, but then Facebook goes, nah, we strict all references to that song because we don't like it.
Yeah, they can. And then they can boot you right off. And that's where YouTube came in. It was a great platform for new artists and, old artists too. But when it came out, it really helped the folks to get music out and people to like it before they could buy it. You know?
Well, it seems to me that the labels, they don't like it. They don't want you using anything you don't, and it's all theirs. And even when it's not theirs, they say it's theirs. You got to, like, defend yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You go, whoa. It is not, no, this is mine. So do the record labels and so on, do they like this alternative media sharing directly of the artist, or do they try and get them under some contract?
Well, this day and time, it's very hard to get a contract from record companies, like I told you earlier. You know, there's the big money, and artists think, well, I'm going to get $200,000+. But what they don't realize is you're going to pay every dime of that back. Okay? You're not getting anything because you're talented. You're getting money that you will pay back through tours or record sales or however. So things have changed a lot, you know, since the 60s and 70s. And used to, you know, you got that money, then, you know, you were going places then. You know, but not today. Things have changed that much, and self-promoting is the best thing that young artists can do. The more people hear your music, the more apt you are for somebody would pick you up, okay?
Well, pick it up for what? To go on tour?
Pick you up for a record deal or something, you know.
That's,
or offer you one.
Are there many record deals now? You know, they have artists in the stables of, you know, a lot of the artists saying, nah, I don't want to sign with you. I'm doing better on my own social media stuff.
Yeah. A lot of people don't sign with them because they know, you know, they're getting a name, a record label, and the label can, you know, get you a tour and all that, but it's up to you to sell yourself however you want to do it, okay?
Well, this particular song that you did about the money, you know, did that take off a little more than some others, you think?
Yeah, it took off pretty good, and it's playing well, especially overseas, playing real hot over there. And I guess all governments have their problems, you know. And also, you know, the love of money is a curse. That was one of the lines in the song. And that's what God said. Yeah. So we tie it all in. This particular song is tied in with our faith and religion. Other things about our government, you know.
Yeah, do you think, was this your first song? How many other songs have you done that have been kind of questioning of the situation of what it is, the government and money and banking?
Yeah.
You know, have you done other songs like this before?
No, this is the first, political song that I've ever done. I mean, I've used the stick. I've never done anybody else's songs but mine. And when I met Randy and he told me about this particular song, it sort of stuck with me, the way things are going nowadays with the government and Trump and must impeach him, must do this, you know. So I thought the song was good for the times, okay? A lot of times, songs, you got to have them out just at the right time. Okay?
Well, especially when there's a desert of other songs, there's nobody else doing it, you know, and you, you know, timing and being the first, that always helps. Tennessee LaRue.
Can publish on the internet, but not everyone.
There we go. We got it, both of you guys in there. That's good. Well, thanks for coming on and explaining it. I appreciate it.
I sure appreciate you, too, and have yourself a great day.
You too.
Happy New Year.
You bet. Bye-bye.